Hi everyone and welcome to Flux, a podcast by Movify. My name is Isabel, lead UI designer here at Movify. I will be hosting solo today as our beloved and co-host Jan is sick, but we wish him all the best and a fast recovery. But joining us today is our special guest, Cesar Legendre, an expert in AI and LLM ops and founder of Prophecy Lab. We will explore the intersections of technology, design, and human experience by diving into the fascinating world of AI.
You're listening to Flux, a podcast about design and development. Our crafters will take you on a journey to discover more about digital innovation.
Cesar, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Isabel. So thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and discuss these exciting topics with you and your listeners.
So Cesar, you've had an intriguing journey into the worlds of AI and LLM ops. Could you share a bit about your background and what led you to this field?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, I was starting as a software developer in the numerical methods industry. So back in the day, we were designing software to help engineers to do a lot of computations, aerodynamics, and as a matter of fact, we were using a lot of things that AI industry is using right now, like Python and GPUs. So for me, the transition was really nice, really smooth. And now I'm serving as a CTO and AI architect of Prophecy Labs, AI solution provider here at Brussels.
Okay. That's quite fascinating. So that's quite a big significant shift. How did you transition into the AI industry?
So as I said, actually, I was always in AI, more or less, because back in the day, we used different AI technologies in that particular sector. But actually, the main reason was the common things between my previous work and today's AI industry. As I said, we have to have solid backgrounds in numerical methods, mathematics, and as well, Python is the lingua franca of AI. And most of the common things right now in AI is the GPUs, because we need these hardware accelerators to run all these models. And as a last thing is what I really like to call silent box, which we used to have actually in that industry, and we have right now in AI.
So you mentioned silent bugs. That's quite an unusual name. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, actually, you have maybe encountered this phenomenon. For example, when you use ChatGPT and hallucinates. So this, what I call, personally call silent bugs, is like when your system appears to work, but doesn't work quite well. I mean, doesn't break, right? So we used to have that in the numerical methods industry. We just, let's say, design different things. We can get some numbers. The system was working, but was given the wrong response. So this kind of, let's say, ill functions is difficult to spot, like the hallucinations of ChatGPT, right? It's working, but not working at the same time.
Okay, that's really interesting. I love the reference to hallucination, that the system's hallucinating. It's quite funny. Going further into the subject, can you tell us more about Prophecy Labs, your company, and your current adventure?
Yes, of course. So we have been active since 2019 as an AI boutique offering custom solutions for AI, data, and as well software. Currently, we have a staff of around 15 people in all the entire life cycle, from data, machine learning, and as well we have different colleagues, including data scientists, data engineers, and AI architects. And as well, we are at Prophecy Labs actually very proud of our different backgrounds in different, let's say, business scenarios. We have colleagues that used to work, as my case, in the aerospace industry. We have colleagues in the chemical, and it's really important for the applicability of AI. And that is reflected in the list of clients.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. With that in mind, I think it's time we dove into the core subject of LLM ops, or basically large language models operations, how to operate applications powered by AI. So yet another ops. I've heard about the terms DevOps, AI ops, data ops, ML ops. So what is LLMOps?
So yeah, funny thing. LLMOps actually stands for Large Language Model Operations. And just to go back to the basics, actually, that all that starts with a kind of a similar concept, which is MLOps, Machine Learning Operations. Mm-hmm. This term was coined by Google back in 2015. And it's about actually how to make or use AI model in software applications to be reproducible, monitorable, scalable, and for sure secure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that is a kind of the intersection of software operations, like we call DevOps, which is widespread in the community, with AI.
Okay, and what about LLMOps then?
So actually, large language models operations, or LLMOps, is like similar to MLOps, but in that particular case, LLMOps actually is only focusing on large language models. And these are just big models that we have to run, like in GPUs, and for instance, GPT is an example of that. So depending on the size of this model and the complexity, operating these models can be, let's say, a challenge. And I will define in simple terms LLMOps as MLOps on steroids. It's a big things to make happen. And you might be surprised on how user experience actually is connected to this field, LLMOps.
Okay. That's super interesting. And myself being a UX UI designer, I would love to hear more about how UX plays a role here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. Actually, I mean, the first thing that when, and all started with ChatGPT. So I think with ChatGPT was the first piece of software application in which connects or directly connects the user with the AI model. So that was, in my opinion, one of the breakthroughs of ChatGPT. And now actually the user interacts directly with the model. So don't get me wrong, back in the day, I'm talking about probably 3 years ago, four years ago, we used to have AI on other applications, like you can have the example of Google Translator or Google Maps or Spotify recommendation system. But we didn't think that there was AI per se. Now with these kind of technologies, AI copilots, ChatGPT, you are directly connected with the user. And yeah, depending on what actually you are expecting, you have to design your system in the back to, let's say, provide the best service to your users.
Okay. And are there other reasons why UX designers and researchers should at least be concerned about LLMOps doing well? If so, can you maybe enlighten us on what these could be potentially?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, there are two main things. I will say first is the latency. Mm-hmm. These kind of models actually are very, very, I mean, difficult to run. Not difficult, but takes time. And you have to have expectations about how latent is your system. So is 1 second okay? It's not, is 2 seconds okay? And that could result in users' frustration. So the second thing is the scope. As you see here, in the case of ChatGPT or other models, are very vulnerable, are powerful, but you can trick them. So in some cases, you can have like not the expected behavior that your user is expecting, right? And security-wise, for sure, you have to have, or you have to be sure that this LLM is just accessing information or the information that you want to access in that application. And as well, this LLM or this AI copilot or chatbot is giving the right information to the right users. And the last part is ethics, for sure. We have to ensure fairness. I mean, imagine that. And we have seen examples like Gemini recently, or even ChatGPT, that the answers are not, let's say, very good in certain cases.
Okay, that's really insightful. And in short, how would you describe an LLMOps framework?
So yeah, so here I will dive more into the technical part, I will say.
Yep.
So I will say four main pillars. First is the data prep or data preparations that is sometimes overlooked. Second part will be the model development and training, so if it's necessary, for sure. Third, I will say that is deployment and scalability. So it's how you serve the number of users that you have. And the four is monitoring and maintenance, because some things can go wrong silently. And we have to, let's say, keep an eye on that.
Great. And moving on to the core aspects of LLM Ops, as you explained, there are several pillars that support its framework. Could you walk us through these pillars, perhaps starting with data processing?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, data processing is sometimes overlooked because I think that is the fuel of any AI model. And here we are talking about, in the case of LLMs, text, basically. We have to clean a lot of text. And as a matter of fact, in certain cases, in the text cleaning process, that is a lengthy process. For instance, there is a text cleaning process that involves removing symbols, punctuations, and so on. We use a smaller LLM to clean the data that will fit a larger LLM. So it's a challenging process for sure. And that is a big data operation. So you have to, let's say, iterate on all the data set that you have. Sometimes you cannot fit that on the memory of your machine. So you have to scale that with frameworks like Hadoop, Spark, or even Oracle, which seems kind of old, but is the standard in the industry.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. What is next, training the model?
I mean, yes and no. You might not need to train the model, because actually that is a very computational expensive task. And sometimes my recommendation is to use a foundational model like GPT or BART or Llama, depending on your applications. Mm-hmm. And my first advice is to, as I said, use different techniques like what is called a RAG, a retrieval augmented generation, which is like a chatbot that only answers on the corpus that you have provided on a different, that can be a PDF or a website, and it's a really good start. But in the case that you need really to train a model, you have the resources and you have as well the business case. The most challenging part, I will say, that is the data that you need to collect. Let's see, in the case of a chatbot, you need pairs of questions and answers, and you need people to annotate this and to, let's say, filter and create this database that is difficult to obtain, for sure.
Okay. Interesting. And what about deployment and scaling?
Actually, that is an interesting question that really depends on your application. For, let's say that, and depends on what you use. If you use a foundational model that can be called by an API, let's say OpenAI API, so they have certain complexity. So all this complexity that is for sure hosting the model and scaling up and so on is taken care of by a third-party software. But here you have to be careful on that this third-party software will just take the data, right? You have to share the data with them. But there is another way. You can use, for instance, open source model, but you have to take care of hosting this model, and it's expensive, because for that, let's say, in a classic application that you need a model like GPT, which is the basis of ChatGPT, you will need around 8 GPUs, and that is a cost of $250,000 per year if you have only one user or several, but not too many, right? So depends of your business case. I will say start first with using a service, using an API from different vendors you have in Amazon, in Google, and other players. And then if your organization really needs your own model, you can go on that. But remember, that is costly, and you need a team to maintain these technologies.
Okay, so it kind of sounds like there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Now, after deployment comes an equally critical phase, I guess, the monitoring and maintenance. What's your approach here?
Yeah, actually, that is very important. And I will say, like in software, test, test, and test. And you have to monitor, because what is the problem of this kind of models is like they generate text, and text is very subjective and is, let's say, prone to interpretation. So we have to come with certain metrics to see if the model doesn't degenerate over time or is not hallucinating. So we can have, let's say, human annotators. So that is the classical thumbs up, thumbs down that you see in ChatGPT, just to evaluate the answer. Or make other models try to just evaluate the response of your current application. So that is very important because, as I said in a previous section, silent box are there, your system is working, but it's not. It's giving, let's say, weird answers.
As we delve deeper into the world of LLM ops, it's impossible to overlook the ethical and security dimensions that accompany the deployment of AI technologies. Cesar, how do you approach the ethical implication in this work?
Actually, ethical considerations are super important, in my opinion. We have to develop, I will say, or engineer solutions that are the connector between humans and machines. And we have to ensure fairness, transparency, accountability in the systems that we develop. For instance, we can check in different, let's say, for the ethics, we can check if we have harmful content that is fit into this application, or even if this application is generating, let's say, some awkward contents that sometimes happen, even in the case, for instance, the recent case of Gemini, that is a case of more in image generation, but as well even in ChatGPT in the initial days. And for instance, a good approach, and that is in the case that you are training your own model, you can incorporate these kind of rules of ethics in your training process. But that, as we stated before, is a really, let's say, computationally expensive process.
Okay, so it's quite crucial that the ethical aspect can't be an afterthought. And when it comes to security, what's your take on this?
Yeah, interesting. And for instance, here I will put the example of this chatbot that everybody wants to have in their website, right? Mm-hmm. And you have some governmental or organization that they want an open chatbot, for sure. An open chatbot is just exposed there to the wild internet. So you have to be sure that that is really well protected, that there is not an actor that could eventually hit your system, because this system is costly to maintain, to compute. And as well, for instance, if you want to segregate the data, right? You want that this chatbot only answers on particular bits of information that you have actually put there. So you have to see, and I suppose that is a matter of expectations of what is expected for that. If it's a public or if facing the public, you have to have certain considerations, and that aligns to IT security as well. If it's for internal purposes, meaning that it's for colleagues and is in the internal VPN of the company, you can be a little bit more relaxed, I will say.
Okay. Great. So what for you is the, what does the future hold? What's next for you?
That is a good question. Actually, here I can just say that, according to me and my opinion, I think in the future we will see more and more open source models. Like, for instance, that is the approach of Meta. Meta have released a lot of open source models and have shaped the direction of the industry, in contrast to the approach of Microsoft, that is essentially similar to OpenAI, which are more service model, which is as well a good approach. Other directions that I see is like we will start to see more narrow domain, smaller models to particular tasks, but a bunch of them instead of a big, large, like GPT-4 model that knows everything. And as well, other, let's say, European ecosystems like the French startups like Mistral AI that is doing tremendous job on putting Europe, let's say, on the map for LLMs and AI.
Amazing. So we're going to conclude this podcast with something a little bit new. We're going to do a quick Q&A just for fun. Are you ready to switch up gears? We're going to do a little lightning round, quick answers only, and let's just have some fun, right?
Yeah.
You ready?
Absolutely. Hit me.
Okay, so favorite large language model?
I mean, for me, Galactica, to be fair. It's a good model, a lot of criticism out there, but Galactica.
Okay. Preferred orchestrator?
Airflow, and but for containers and Kubernetes.
Okay, to train or not to train or fine-tune?
Not to train, use as it is if you are doing a POC.
The biggest myth about AI?
That AI will steal all of our jobs, but actually it's people using AI that will steal jobs or people not using it.
Yeah, good to know. Most underrated skills in LLM ops?
Patience and coding.
And your go-to programming language?
I will say COBOL. No, just kidding. Python.
That's great. What is it?
Python.
Okay. Favorite data set?
Cat versus dogs, but that is not in language, it's more image recognition.
Okay. Cloud or on-premise?
I will say on-prem, on-premise, because I like complexity, solving issues, and yes.
And the last one, are you early morning or late night coding?
I will say late night for coding and early morning for debugging.
Okay, great. That was fantastic. Thanks a lot, Caesar. Thanks for being such a good sport. You've definitely shed some light on LLM ops for me to start with, but also for a lot of listeners, I'm hoping. And it was very insightful and entertaining. So
thank you, Isabel, for the invitation.
This was a really insightful first AI podcast by Caesar. I learned a lot and I hope you did too. My main key takeaway is that the key point is the strong connection between user experience and artificial intelligence. Balancing expectations and functionality is crucial as it greatly shapes AI development. This balance affects backend architectural decisions, determining how AI technologies operate. If you are interested in knowing more about Movify, don't hesitate to visit our website on movify.com and stay tuned for the next episodes. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram.
Thank you for listening to Flux. If you like this episode, subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast platform. See you on the next one.